Everyone, it's good to be here this evening. The title of my message this evening is The Glorious Message of the Lord's Church. It is an exposition of the twofold message of the church, which consists of preaching to the lost. That same gospel message that Abraham believed. That the elect of the nations would be blessed through the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, her gospel teaching to the believer. That same gospel that teaches that God-given faith is accounted to us for righteousness. Our opening text is found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians in the chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading in the verse 6. As you turn there, we of the local body of Christ in Silsbee, Texas, salute you, our dear sister church. The Grace Bible Baptist Church of Denham Springs. From the bottom of my heart, it is good to be here with God's people to find rest for our souls here in this pilgrim journey that gets rough sometimes. But here, God is so gracious to us that even we can come in a place like this and find rest for our souls. In fact, our Lord, it was already mentioned this evening, our Lord said that He would be with us always. Matthew 28:19. And it occurred to me that this is one of the ways that He is with us always. In fact, if your citizenship is in heaven, which it should be, then this is a love letter from heaven. And so, my brethren, my sisters, God is so good to us. He's provided us with a good word. He's provided us with a good church. And He's provided us with good ministers. In His infinite goodness, He is always with us. And soon we shall see Him face to face. We only see now as through a glass, darkly now, but then we shall see Him face to face. We take our message this evening from God's own holy and infallible word of truth in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians in the chapter 3. It is written, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are, or which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. I take for my verse this evening the sixth verse of Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
That's right.
Abba, Father, we come before Thy throne of sovereign grace and mercy, so thankful. And Father, we pray that our message might be glorifying unto Thee, Father, for we are so unworthy a vessel. And Father, for us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To begin with, I want to clarify what I mean by the message of the church. It has already been brought out this evening, and I won't beat the point to the fact that not every organization calling itself a church is a church that is built by our Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. And I want to clarify this fact. The brother brought it out somewhat, Brother Wilson brought it out somewhat, that it is a called out assembly. The word ecclesia, the Greek word, is a compound word, ekkaleo. Now you can even see the similarity of the Greek and the English in the kaleo, kaleo meaning called or called out. And so, thank you, brother, for bringing out that point. The church is a called out church, an elect church. For if you are called out, someone had to call you out. And it is also a church of unbroken continuity, as our Lord said and as was brought out this evening, that even the gates of hell should not prevail against the Lord's church. I have had opportunity over the past 3 years while pastoring at the Lord's body of Christ in Silsby to trace her links, to trace the links of the Lord's church in Silsby all the way back to the time of Christ. I got so excited when I started to put these missing links together that I was able to do with the modern invention of the computer and genealogies, and it was made simpler by the fact that back then, in simpler times, the church used to bury the faithful right on the church so you can read the stones and get the names and the dates of places and people. And I looked up colorful men like John Davenport, James Davenport, and others. Flora Kirksey, who was 101 years old, that just went on to be with the Lord, who was also one of the founding members of the church that founded the church in Silsby. I was amazed, my brethren, my sisters, at the staunchness of these Baptist brethren that came with the Baptist faith all the way from Jerusalem to Rome, and then from Rome to Wales, and from Wales to Pennsylvania, where they the government gave the Welsh a tract of land that is called the Welsh Tract, and they started a church there. And then from that Welsh Tract in Pennsylvania, which is now Delaware, they went on to Edgefield, South Carolina, and founded the Welsh Tract Church in Edgefield, South Carolina. And the Lord continued to use that, and that blossomed. And missionaries were sent from Edgefield in South Carolina to Alabama, where the Mulberry Creek Baptist Church was founded. It's still there. And then missionaries were sent into the Badlands of Louisiana and Texas. And along the way, some colorful stories about our Baptist brethren living in this land of lawlessness. At that time, there was no law. So even some of our Baptist brethren had to become regulators because of the lawlessness in this land. Yet, with zealousness, and with that zealousness and that fire and that zeal that was given to them of the Lord, they came, and even though they were warned, don't go to Texas, that's a nation of outlaws. Don't go there, they said. And yet they came and they started the church over there in what's called Crim's Chapel, which America Crim, who is one of the founding members of that church there, was part of a group of eight that founded that church there, and many others that I was able to find. I brought that point out for this. Because overwhelmingly, I found that the writings of all of these Baptist brethren, overwhelmingly, from all the way from the journey from Jerusalem all the way to Silsby, the message was still the same. It was a message that contained the doctrine of grace, of our sovereign grace. Now, in the history book, The Baptists of Texas, I read how some of these brethren were able to make their way across the land in the middle of Indian wars, in the middle of all of these persecutions. You know, there was persecution, I found, in Texas by the Roman Catholics. Texas was overwhelmingly Roman Catholic. It was part of the Roman Catholic Empire all the way to California. And the Baptist brethren there were also persecuted. And I found that in their writings, overwhelmingly, that their writings were about faith and about the doctrine of grace. And we find that the Arminian was historically the heretic. And now, we're looked at like we're the heretics in choosing a text for a sermon on the glorious message of our Lord's church. It would seem strange that I would go to an Old Testament figure like Abraham. But I chose this text because I want you to see the continuity of that glorious message that we still preach. That we preach at the Lord's Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Silsbee. That you preach here, brother, at the Lord's Grace Bible Baptist Church here in Denham Springs. And I say that Abraham, it had to be grace because Abraham was an idolater. He came from a family of idolaters. And he came from a nation of idolaters. And so it had to be grace. He was given new life. Abraham was given new life in order to first receive the gospel message. And I chose this text also because it was good enough for Stephen. You see, Stephen, he began when he preached the gospel, he started at Abraham. If you go to Acts chapter 7 and the verse 1, you'll see that he started there at Abraham, and for this they stoned him to death. And so, my brethren, my sisters, the false message of Christendom, the false message of Christendom teaches that the exact opposite of what we teach, the doctrine of grace. They teach that fallen man is able to regenerate himself. This Arminian decisionism falsely teaches that man is made alive in Christ when he believes the gospel. But the holy and infallible Word of God teaches the exact opposite. It teaches that all men are born spiritually dead. For Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12, it is written, it says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed." Pay attention to that little word, imputed. "Where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, over the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift." Yeah. It is a free gift. "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace." It is a gift. Again, you see the law of double mention there. "Which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." He didn't say all. He said many. That's the English of it. The Arminian would like that to say all. But it says many. Turn with me now, if you will, please. In the Gospel according to John, in the chapter 6, in the verse 44. Here, again, is the message, or the message that we teach. Here we find our Lord Jesus Christ teaching. And so if we want to find what our message should be, let's go to the Lord and see what He was teaching. Amen? John chapter 6 and the verse 44. As you turn there, just as none of us has given birth to our own selves. If you have given birth to your own selves, raise your hand and we'll get you in the Guinness Book of World Records. But just as no one in here has given birth to their own selves, you have to first have a higher power outside of yourself to quicken you in order for you to hear the gospel and then believe it. And on top of that, he gave you the ears too. So it started with him and it ends with him. I would like to say that the message of the church has to compel men to come to Christ. We are to compel them to come. Now, we don't know who they are. Yet we are told that we are to compel them. But for what reason? The reason is, as Abraham found out, and that's why that word imputed is so important, that man has no righteousness of his own. And because God is righteous, he has standards. Because God has standards, righteous standards, he is just. And so, here we find that because of inherited and imputed sin, man is totally depraved. You say, where do you see that? John 6:44. He says, no man can come to me. You see, because he is unable. He is unable. That's why he says, no man can. He didn't say no man will. He said no man can. You are unable to come because you're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. That's the very words of our own Lord Jesus Christ. I can't make it no more clearer than that. This is what our Lord teaches, and it's good enough for us to teach also. Because man is unable to come. He is spiritually dead, not even a spark. They try to say there's a spark. But dead is dead. And this is why it's so important that our message begin with total depravity. And I'm going to show you why. Because a defective view of man's depravity will lead to a defective view of salvation. For if you believe that you are partially able to regenerate yourself, then what was the purpose of Calvary? You see? And that's what the devil wants you to believe. That's what the devil wants you to believe, that you have this little spark of goodness in yourself. This is the garbage that the so-called churches out there are teaching. It is this apostasy that has led to other apostasies such as sacramental salvation, baptismal regeneration, alien baptism, and a host of other heresies just from a faulty view of man's depravity. And that's why our Lord said, no man can come because he is unable. So let's start there. A lot of people will try to scare people using scare tactics like hell. Now, I teach the doctrine of hell, but I teach that hell is a result. It is a result of man's not having any righteousness. So when we say salvation, it's not salvation from hell. It's salvation from sin, because hell is the result of sin. So we're not being saved from hell. We're being saved from sin and death. And it is because man is a totally depraved sinner that he has been justly condemned to die. That's right. If you sit here in this room this evening and you are without Christ, you're sitting on death row.
That's right.
Because you've been condemned already. There's not going to be a trial. The trial's already been had. The great white throne judgment is when sentence is passed.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
You've already been judged. And so, because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned, even the Pope. And because he is righteous and has righteous standards, and because he is just, he must punish. He must punish sin in the flesh, because sin is committed in the flesh. So if you are without Christ this evening, you are in a precarious place. You have no righteousness of your own. And this is what God the Holy Spirit taught Abraham. And that's why Stephen started there. And even our own Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at Luke 24:47 and 27, it says that our Lord began at Moses and the prophets. Moses is in Genesis. So he took the Pharisees back to the time of Moses in Genesis and explained that this righteousness of Abraham had to be reckoned or accounted to him. And so, my brethren, my sisters, God provided for Abraham salvation from before the beginning of time. Abraham's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in fact, for that matter, all of the elect's names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Given to the Son by the Father in the triune the covenant of grace among the triune Godhead. And both Old Testament and New Testament saints await the redemption. Both await the redemption, which was accomplished at that cursed tree of Calvary. And with this I introduce my subject, the glorious message of the church. Turn with me, if you will, please, in your authorized version of the Bible to Matthew 28:19. The brother was right on when he said we would be going there. As you turn there, Baptist preacher Davis Huckabee wrote a very good 2 volumes on the church. And in the 2nd volume, he writes, "The message of the church is not to be confused with the doctrine of the church." So right off the top, let's differentiate between those two. The message of the church and the doctrine of the church are two different things, although they overlap sometimes. And you'll see this. And so we see that Brother Pack brought this out this evening in Acts 2:41. That those who believed continued steadfastly in the Lord's doctrine. You see, so they believed and then they were in the Lord, continued steadfastly in the Lord's doctrine. In fact, our Lord's first assignment for me in the gospel ministry was in the mission field. And in preparation, while I was in seminary, I learned that the great apostle Paul made 3, if not 4, missionary journeys. And also the Great Commission. And I also found out that the Great Commission can be found in at least 5 different passages in the New Testament. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24:47, John 20:21, and Acts 1:8. Now, Matthew 28:19-20. It is written, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Let me stop there. This teach all nations. This is the general call made to all by the church. It is a proclamation of pardon on behalf of the King. We acting as ambassadors on behalf of the King, proclaiming a reconciliation with God in and through the glorious merit and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if that person is one of the elect, we have no idea of knowing it. God the Holy Spirit now works in that person and regenerates that soul. And then a public profession of faith is made, and the result is a new Christian. So now we go on to the step 2. Look at verse in chapter 28, verse 19, continuing. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He says, baptizing them You see that word them? That refers back to those that were taught in the A part of the verse. That's them. That's a specific group of people who have believed. Now these are baptized. So you see the sequence of events? There's a believing, then there is a baptizing. And then he goes on. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20. Teaching them. Here we go with the word again. Them. That is specific again to the group that was just baptized. Now those that were just baptized become discipled. So here's the progression. Believe, baptize, discipled. Another way of putting it, Roy Mason puts it this way in the church that Jesus built. He says, you make men Christians, and then you make Christian Baptists. That's the way it is. That's the way it seems to me. And so, what is the message? What is the message of the church? It is the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. I used to look at the gospel as just being Matthew through John and Paul, the gospel of Paul. But now I look at the gospel as being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And see that is the commandment. Turn with me, if you will, now to Luke chapter 24 in the verse 44. Luke chapter 4 in the verse 44. It is written, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Now watch. Concerning me. This is the message. The glorious message of the church is this right here. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the building fund, not this and that and the other. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, our Lord, this is what He is saying. Concerning me. Everything that's written in this book. And then He gives you the canon. In fact, the canon exactly the way we have it. The law, the prophets, the Psalms. Or the wisdom, the words of wisdom. And so, my brethren, my sisters, look also at verse 27. And beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There we go again. There's the law of second mention. This is what we should be concerned with, preaching Christ. Now, what is it about Christ? Go back to Matthew, in the Great Commission that we were just at, Matthew 28, in the verse 20. Here we go. This was mentioned earlier, but I just want to expound upon this a little bit. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. What is this all things? What does that mean, all things? Well, he expands that out in Mark chapter 16 in the parallel, and then he tells us what that all things is in the verse 15 of Mark chapter 16. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, the all things in Matthew 28:20 relates to the gospel. This is the all things. He expands it now to the gospel. And we've already said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto all them that believe. And so, my brethren, my sisters, let us not be ashamed of the gospel. This is the message, the glorious message that we have. There is no other. Christendom, they have him on the cross, but we preach a risen Savior. We preach a Christ who was not only died, buried in the grave for 3 days, but also a risen Savior. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. In fact, that's usually when I like that when he says all things, because that's exactly the way the preachers back in them days did it. They started at the prophets, and they went all the way. Started at Moses, and then went through the prophets. And they didn't do like we do. We pick a little verse here and a little verse there. They went through the whole thing, and then they ended up at the resurrection, pointing the way to Christ. And that's what I want you to see this evening. And so, my brethren, my sisters, that is our message. If you are without Christ, I want you to know the gospel. So I'm going to read the gospel to you right now so that you can't leave here today saying, I don't know what the gospel is. All right? 1 Corinthians. Your blood's not going to be on my hand. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in the verse 1. This is the gospel in a nutshell. If you're without having something to go out in your hand with to go knock on doors or whatever, this use this one right here. It is written. And I conclude. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Wherein ye stand. You see, my brethren, we stand in the gospel. That's our foundation. By which also ye are saved. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. You see, received. He didn't say accepted. He said received. How that Christ, oh yeah, he'll make you receive it. One way or the other. That's also part of the church message, irresistible grace. But I've got 30 seconds left. So I won't go there. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see, because we are without righteousness, we're condemned sinners, already condemned to die, but God in His love and God in His grace and God in His mercy has provided a salvation for us. His own dear precious Son. And this is what we should be preaching. The love of God and the fact that we are without righteousness and that He has provided that righteousness for us through the ransom sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I finish with the verse 4. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you are without Christ this evening, we're told to compel you. Compel you to come. You have no righteousness of your own. I don't know where hell is. Some people theorize hell is located somewhere 2,000 miles beneath the crust of the earth. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I know there's a core, a molten core that exists in the earth. I don't know if that's where the literal place of hell is, but I know that hell is a literal place. And I'm not trying to scare you now, but I'm just trying to say, while your feet are here, in the house of God, what better place When you walk out them doors, you don't know what's going to happen. Life is not guaranteed to no one. Last Saturday, I buried my son. And so, I tell you, I compel you, if you are without Christ, you come. May the Lord be pleased to use this message for His own great glory and honor.
Would you please stand?